Where were we in the meat offering? I don't even remember.
I think it was 89.
Leviticus 2. And when any will offer a meat offering, chapter 2, verse 1. And when any will offer a meat offering unto the Lord, his offering shall be a fire of flour, and he shall pour oil upon it and frankincense thereon. What we need to do is probably starting. I'll go over a little bit about the frankincense tonight. But what we need to do is we need to like start the meat offering over again. Let's just go through step by step everything, because I think most of you have forgotten it. But I want to talk about the frankincense because it's so important for where we are right now. The frankincense is at the time that this was written, and even all the way through the time of Christ, was the most expensive, the most rare, the most fragrant of all the perfumes. It, of course, was one of the offerings that was brought to Christ by the Magi from all the way across the known world, along with the gold and the myrrh.
Is it a compilation of a lot of stuff that makes up frankincense?
No, frankincense is one thing. Frankincense is the it's the sap or the gum from a fir-like tree. It's not an actual fir tree, but it's something like a fir tree. And it's done by slicing the bark of the tree and then letting the sap or the gum ooze out. And it's yellowish.
Oh, yeah, like the stuff that comes out of pine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the same thing.
Sort of hard as you get.
Yeah, but this, it's yellowish and it's really gunky. It's kind of you can see through it. But the bad part of it is that it has a nauseous taste. It makes you sick to your stomach if you taste it.
Probably make turpentine.
I think it made tea tree oil.
Tea tree oil. I have a tea tree oil story, but I can't tell. I found a new use for tea tree oil.
Is it rare?
Frankincense, yes. Yeah. Anyway, and it grows on limestone. I mean, it's like from a geologic standpoint, it grows with this pure limestone. Which is,
we've got some up there. You want me to get?
You got frankincense?
Uh-huh. I got a visual aid.
Okay, go get a visual aid.
Feel it. Look, she's so proud of herself. But I have some.
Is Gary the one that's look at Gary beaming?
My wife has.
That was Gary's idea to have the damn stuff.
All these years,
I got it at the local occult shop.
It's probably not real.
It's probably made from a different. I'll bet you I know what it is. If it's from there, because it was the kind that was used. The Jewish that was used in the law is a peculiar kind that I doubt very seriously.
Yeah, I imagine it.
Did it grow in the land?
Hmm?
Did it grow in the land?
Doesn't matter. It wasn't important.
If it's not the real stuff, God tells you.
Yeah, in fact, having it not the real stuff means it's totally adult. Yeah. Even bringing it to our presence is probably.
Yeah, it means your children will die.
This is from Ms. Nita's Candle Incense and Herb Shop.
Put down my brownies.
Ms. Nita.
This is hyssop.
What else?
Myrrh and cumin.
Can't beat them.
This isn't it, but it's close to it. Yeah.
Now, if you eat that, John, you'll get sick and throw up.
Can you smoke it?
No way to go, Gary.
Get them to tell holy about eating stuff.
See if you can light it somewhere.
Should I blow it out and then it'll
just smell it. Smell it.
That'll rip your head off.
Good.
Yeah. Well, let's contrast. The purpose of what we're going to talk about tonight is this contrast. In verse 1, it says, you shall put oil upon it and frankincense thereon. Verse 11 says...
It's not poisonous? Is this poisonous?
No.
Is it eat?
No. It'll cause you to be nauseated if you eat it.
But they put it on... Can you really smell it, man?
They don't put it on.
They put it beside it or something.
It's just
pour oil upon it and put frankincense there on.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not a... Well... No, don't worry about that. It's not like it's gonna like they're gonna put a gallon of it on it. It's just a teeny little bit like this. In verse 11 it says, "No meat offering which you shall bring unto the Lord shall be made with leaven, and for you shall burn no leaven nor any honey in any offering of the Lord made by fire." Now the contrast that I want to talk about tonight is that in the meat offering is what? The meat offering is to man. That's man's obligation to man. There can be no honey in that offering. It's only frankincense. Now, everybody wants it to be honey. You want to put honey on the offering. You want it to be sweet and nice, and you want things to smile and be pleasant, but it won't last. It won't pass through the fire. That which will pass through the fire makes flesh nauseous. Now, I know this sounds like a justification for my behavior for 20 years, but it really isn't. It's what the scripture is. Everything about flesh wants to be nice, and you want to be nice to people so they'll be nice to you. You want to have the meat offering or the obligation of man to man to be sweet. But it won't last. It won't stand the fire. And you've got to begin to see that tonight. Now, honey is sweet, and all flesh, the relationships about flesh. The non-spiritual obligation. In fact, every other that I think of, any other obligation that man has to flesh, whether it's any relationship, any religion, any philosophy, has as its component honey. You understand that?
It's like respect.
Respect is a good one. All of the little things that you think should be a component of a relationship. The things that are sweet to the senses. It's a sweetness to the senses with regard to the relationship. Now, the reason honey is used as a metaphor exclusively for God to you is because of this. God is the only one that has the right to cause you to have that sweet, that internal sweetness, the land flowing with milk and honey. You cannot spread the honey around on your offering, on your obligations to each other.
You can't get it.
And well, yeah, that's... Yeah, am I communicating? Now, the reason is this. Honey is though sweet, is corruptible. It soon ferments and becomes leaven. And that's why it's tied in that scripture. That's why it's honey wine is so easy to make. That's why, and it's so sickeningly. I mean, it's just terrible stuff.
Yeah, it makes it.
Oh, God. The only time honey is good to the senses is when it's lukewarm. And that's what lukewarm life wants. They want the sweetness of honey. You understand that?
It can't be cold
or
it won't do anything.
Right, and it has to be, if it's hot, it'll crystallize, it's no good. So it has to be, you have to be lukewarm in order to want this little bitty nice sweetness to between people.
In verse 11 it says, "Nor any honey in any offering of the Lord make fire." And I don't remember all that, but all of them have fire in them, all the offerings to the Lord.
Yeah, they're all burnt off.
Every one of them. That's fine. So it tests ever.
Yeah, that's the test.
The Lord's fire.
Our God is a consuming fire. That's why it's to keep the type. I mean, it's time that we begin to see that we're not about what other people are about. You know, people come here and they say, how in the God's name can you do this? What is it? I want to know how to do it. Anyway, do you understand? Can you, this thing about frankincense is something that has to be felt rather than spoken. I mean, it's the idea that, remember the meat offering is man's obligation to man, and it's always it's the burnt offering with its meat offering. I mean, it's, first of all, the meat offering never stands alone. It always is with the burnt offering. The burnt offering in spirit is first. It meets the demands of God, the just demands of God. And the fruit of that is its meat offering. It can't be one or the other. Now, that...
You can't say you love God and hate your brother. You've got to ask to be the real offering.
And you can't say you love God and put honey on the brother. It has to be the hardest sayings in the universe. You can never, ever, ever minister to the flesh. You can't, I mean, you can have timing or you weigh this and this, but as a practical matter, this is the reality. It's this frankincense versus honey. You never, ever forget it. Frankincense causes, in the natural, there's nothing attractive about it. It only is when it passes through the fire that it meets the demands.
Can I talk to you for a minute?
What?
The pre-Passover, can I talk to you for a minute?
Yeah. Anybody have any... You understand? Now, again, when I was going to talk about this, I knew that it's going to sound like it's a self-justification for my behavior style or for my personality.
If you hadn't brought it up.
Shut up.
But now that you bring it up.
Okay, well, let's go backwards then. From the frankincense, what was the one before that? We'll study more about it, but let's just review the oil. He shall pour oil there on it, on the meat offering. You know, there's two emblems for the Holy Spirit, right? One emblem is water, and one emblem is oil. Now, what? Why? What is oil, first of all?
There's more than that, isn't there? Water, oil, fire, and dough.
Oil's fat.
No, with the idea of the offerings.
Oh, okay.
Is oil fat?
Oil is fat. Oil is fat. Mm-hmm. Oil is, if you think about it, oil is latent power. Mm-hmm. Fuel. Oil is sort of like meekness.
As is that incense. Well, they're both blazing fire at rest.
Yeah, but it doesn't. He couldn't drive anything. Or,
oh no, no.
It's not blatant power.
Fragrance.
It's fragrance. But anyway, think. In the offerings, the water is used as the type of the spirit in the burnt offering, and it's only water, and the oil is used as the type of the spirit in the meat offering. Why?
Baptism, water, baptism, fire, I don't know.
Well, that's part of it. But it's also that it's the cleansing. It's the waters of purification. It's the cleansing that is the work of the Spirit for the burnt offering. But it's the empowerment that's the work of the Spirit for the meat offering.
Yeah, what you got two different kinds of cleansing. You got one by water and one by fire. Also, that this the water's purification.
Yeah, but the cleansing by fire can't be for man. It can't be. That's only towards God. Fire. The cleansing by fire, it's latent. It's it's like, how can I say? We have the authority to take it so far, but we don't have the authority to light the match in the type of the oil. You understand that?
You need the cleansing in order to deal with God.
Right.
And you need the power in order to minister.
But you need the power with wisdom. You need the power without the match.
And God doesn't match.
God doesn't match at his time. You destroy him. Our God is consuming fire.
Yeah.
Now, without the oil, the offering was incomplete. Now, the other aspect of oil, however, it's not only latent power. It is also, it has as its type, nourishing and healing. I mean, it's in those aspects, that nourishing and that healing aspect is the type vis-a-vis in the meat offering. Now, Jesus, as the obedient man, was filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's go to Luke 3.
Isn't that one of the first things they do with a baby, is rub them with oil?
Mm-hmm. Except from New Jersey, they rub them with salt.
Yeah. When you're trying to relate the power, the grease, and the match and all that, I just think
Gertz Law. Gertz Law.
Gertz Law.
Harry Gertz Law.
I was thinking of the description you gave of those huge candles they would have in the temple where it was all the oil and the priest's garments as the wick, and then the fire of God to convert that into light, and the garment wouldn't be consumed. It would be the oil.
All right. All right. Luke 3:21. Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus was being baptized and praying, and the heaven was opened. And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, and thee I am well pleased. Now spiritually what took place at that moment is the oil was poured on the meat offering. You understand that? Jesus as the meat offering. Here, for the first time, the oil was poured on the meat offering. Now, what this was the empowerment for what was about to take place.
So the dove represented the oil?
Yeah, the dove was the Holy Spirit.
Oh.
Right?
Yeah.
Right. So now the thing to man was could begin.
Right.
Yeah.
The oil was poured on the flour, spiritually.
After it was beaten.
Now, he had just spent 30 years being refined and beaten as fine flour. And we don't know a lot about that. We think that, you know, but there was a whole lot of beating being done on him. And the beating was this aspect of only seeing God. Never
obedience to the things he suffered.
Yeah, but he never exercised his own power.
Is it Satan said to you?
Satan said to you. He never exercised the power. You got to see that. It's the opposite of what the teaching of Tolton is. Okay. And this is why this is becoming so germane. You understand that the oil was poured in the flour. Now, in Luke 4, then immediately afterward, Jesus, Luke 4, 1, now comes this the genealogy, and then Luke 4. Remember, it's Luke 3:22, and then genealogy is interspersed, then Luke 4:1. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan, was led by the Spirit in the wilderness. Now, in Luke 4:14, where are we? And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went up fame of him throughout all the region. So what happens? He was the oil was poured on the flour, and now the oil is doing stuff to the flour here in these few verses from Luke 3:22 to Luke 4:14. Then immediately He reads the description of what the fruit of being the oil being poured on the flower is. You understand? The Spirit of the Lord in verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me. He has oiled. He has Christed. He has empowered to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, the first, if we have eyes to see this, we find out that the New Testament, especially the Gospels, well, no, the whole New Testament, all it is a revelation of the meat offering. But we have to know its foundation, otherwise we blaspheme. And the foundation of the meat offering is Leviticus, what we're studying. That's why we haven't yet experienced the book of Acts. Really, we're not getting ready to, because we didn't have the foundation of the book of Acts. We were still trying to pour honey in the flesh. But then we put oil on the frankincense, we got it all confused. But God is building us a sure foundation that's grounded in explicit understanding of each element of what we're about. That's the rarest thing in the face of the earth today. You understand? Now we understand what it means about we then become. We become the meat offering.
Is that phrase always the burnt offering and the meat offering? That's always the order.
Right. This is the greatest. It's the contrast. The contrasts are startling. Tilton is a pompous and sanctimonious twit, and his core group of followers are those smug and stupid, quote, I've got Jesus and you don't types who have given religion a bad name. On the other hand, loosey-goosey believers who casually are as profane as they are profound, who believe that humor and openness are the best tools they have.
Doing this the
strength? Right. Tilton's knowledge of Scripture seems to extend to only those verses which support his contention that you should send him money.
I love that. This is true. Yeah.
Well, I can't find it. Damn it, I'm sorry. There's this great, the one paragraph that says what Tilton has done.
Making fools of the people who are still good enough to give or something like that. It's like the very end.
Anyway, what it really says, it makes the, and if you think about it, it makes the giving of the peace, the meat offering impossible. I mean, it's like he's so prejudiced the possibility that there can be no giving of the meat offering. And you understand what you're, does that communicate?
I don't know.
Well, anyway, let's don't worry about it.
It's like he screwed up the process so much by what he's injected into all the stuff that people who really would want to have this are unable to do it because it's just all polluted with flesh stuff.
Like a bad cook.
Okay, now. So Jesus then, the oil is poured on him, the oil is mixed up, and then he goes and he begins the process of becoming or being the meat offering. All done in the power of that oil on the meat offering. Now, in Acts 10, don't go there, it's Acts 10:38. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, and he went about doing good. Now, from God's standpoint, the only doing of good is the meat offering. It's the burnt offering with his companion meat offering. You understand that? So it's not by us sitting around defining and thinking up little plans.
Preaching deliverance and all those things that he said, the bringing of the gospel.
Right.
Which, we know that that's not, these hypocritical false good works, but is the bringing forth of repentance,
right.
Fruit for repentance.
Right. Now, the Gospels from one end to the other are full of references to the meat offering. No sooner had Jesus commenced his ministry, let's go back to Luke. This is it's the first time he offered himself as the meat offering. In verse 27, and he's saying, and many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet. None of them were cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath and rose up and thrust him out of the city and led him to the brow of the hill whereupon their city was built, and that they might cast him headlong down. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way. In other words, the very first thing that happened with the meat offering is it didn't have a damn bit of honey in it.
Yeah, it's like he was real average up until that point.
Yeah.
You know, it's like when they said, is this not Joseph's son?
It was right.
Like, you know, what the hell happened to him?
He grew in grace and wisdom, and, you know, he's just doing his stuff, hanging around. Then all of a sudden, oil was poured on the offering. And a fame of him went throughout the land the moment the oil was poured. All right. Okay. He was always the meat offering wherever he went. He didn't sometimes be the meat offering and sometimes not. He was always the meat offering. He was never different. He was the same in whatever environment he was. Now, he was bruised, but he was never without power from that point on. Contrast to us. We're bruised, but we're without power. Because what we try to do is we try to fix the bruise as opposed to make that weakness our power. Now, we are not bruised or broken, but we're still powerless. What little is attempted to do for others is often in the energy of the flesh rather than the power of the spirit. This is what ruins our efforts. The power we use for God is our power and not the spirit. And because of that, there's no consistency. If we go about doing good, is it in that power of the spirit, or is it some other thing? Is it some natural affinity, or is it some natural preference for doing this, or some advantage, or some circumstance that we try to gain advantages from? Do we not think it's okay to seek power from elsewhere when we find something is lacking? No, that's the first thing we do. We find there's something lacking, and what do? We try to find an excuse or a blame, and then we try to fill that lack with something other than the Spirit of God. We may call it the Spirit. Do you understand? We fill that lack with trying to be right. I want to try to talk a minute about the evil of trying to be right. The idea or the need to be right destroys the power of God. The need to be right is a thing that should have happened at a time, you know, at a time when you should be teachers. You have need of one teach you again the first principles of the doctrine. All of the need to be right should have been already established in the wilderness. It should have been tested and fully exposed, so that there is never a need to be right in you again. So it's pure prophecy. It's pure. You understand,
You're your only limitation. There's no other limitation on you in the universe.